in a democracy. There is nothing worse than ignoring science.
I'm not a scientist, nor am I a physicist.
I'm not a scientist.
I'm not a scientist.
No one's born a scientist.
Capacity to maintain world-leading
science. Not the doctor of a political party.
I'm not qualified to debate the science over climate change.
To their zeal for discovery.
Today we're kicking off our series looking at how politicians use and often ignore scientific evidence to justify their ideology, and how scientists play politics too, like when they overpromise on scientific breakthroughs to get more research money. We're calling it political science, where evidence and ideology collide. Now, you're probably already thinking of climate change, and that is the classic example where often the facts don't show up in the debate. But we wanted to dig deeper and talk to both policymakers and researchers, because the clash of ideology and science happens all the time in abortion, drug interdiction programs, bans on genetically modified foods, you name it. And it's there that we're going to start today. Ann Glover is Europe's former scientific advisor and currently vice principal for external affairs at the University of Aberdeen in Scotland. She served in that role as chief scientific advisor until last November, when her position was abolished. And she says it's difficult to confront both politicians and the public with scientific facts.
The new president of the commission, President Juncker, has decided that he probably doesn't want a single identified figure offering scientific advice or evidence. And so he has said that for the meantime anyway, he wants to dissolve the post, so he isn't immediately looking for a replacement.
Professor Glover, there was a lot of optimism and then a great deal of disappointment around your job. When you were appointed and your job was created, a lot of people were really excited. Look, the European Commission, these politicians, they're really serious. They want objective scientific advice. They want the data to inform their decisions. They want to depoliticize science. That's something a lot of people in the United States are very envious of. And then your departure, which had some controversy around GMOs, and the new president, of course, eliminated the position entirely, was, I think, a similar disappointment, which is it was too much for them. Real data was too much for politicians. It became politically inconvenient.
When you're constructing or developing policy, you need to base it on something. And if you want it to be robust and long-lived, the best possible platform you can use is the evidence, the scientific evidence. The evidence is never 100% certain, but it's our best bet to have something robust and long-lasting. I think that without evidence, then we go into the realms of opinion or philosophy or ideology.
Bring us inside the typical meeting. I'm interested in a case, your personal experience, when you said, "Minister, I appreciate your position. I need to tell you that the best data that we have, all of the papers say this. I have to advise you against doing that." And they look at you and say, "I have voters I have to think about. You don't."
The one area was GM food, where, as you might know, in Europe, generally I would say that European citizens are not in favor of growing and consuming genetically modified crops here. And I have had a number of conversations with politicians where behind a closed door they'll say, "Yeah, okay, we do understand the evidence tells us that the technology itself is not harmful. How you use the technology, of course, there is more debate around that, because I would say there are some good applications and some not so good applications of the technology for crop production. But what those politicians would say is that I know that my voters would not be keen if I turned around and said, okay, I think we should vote in favor of using GM technology. My position on this is that politicians are elected and they represent citizens. I, as a chief scientific advisor, I wasn't elected. And so all I can do is offer advice and the evidence. But what I would ask of politicians is that they were honest and truthful, and that they should use the evidence and talk about the evidence available. And where it disagrees with public opinion or ideology or philosophy, just to be straightforward about that.
Doesn't that conversation that you had maybe more than once with the politician where they say, I know you're right, but I can't sell it, mm-hmm. and so we have to go against the data, doesn't that make you want to grab them by the lapel and shake them? Doesn't it just make you want to do that?
It doesn't make me want to do that. You know, I think you have to be very straightforward about the evidence says this, but for other reasons, and it could be public opinion, it could be for economic reasons or social or ethical reasons, all of these are valid. But you, in my mind, you must not say that my excuse is that I'm going to say that the evidence is lacking when it isn't. So that's my frustration.
Do you look upon us with some pity here in the United States? Is it another shade of the same problems that you have? What do you think when you see our climate debate in this country where it's big news if our Congress votes to say that climate change actually exists?
I think what we need to do, and actually US scientists as well as European scientists and others, need to stand up and say, let's make a clear distinction between what the evidence is, which is something that is peer-reviewed, it's argued about, it's refined until it's a very precious and powerful thing. There's a big difference between that and philosophy or ideology or faith. Those are equally valid things, but they should not be confused with the evidence.
Ann Glover is Europe's former scientific advisor, currently vice principal for external affairs at the University of Aberdeen in Scotland. Tomorrow, we're going to hear how scientific researchers hyped the promise of stem cell research in a bid to get increased funding.